This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murat. Our good pals are going to take great care of you. They took care of my family. They do a really good job. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit KMLawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount. That's KMLawyers.com. Speaking of the show, come hang out with us tomorrow. We're at Rudy's Golf in Kingstown, Alexandria. They've got a double-deck driving range, top tracer technology, putt-putt courses, a full restaurant, fun for the whole family. Visit rudysgolf.com. Rudy's Golf is the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment.
We'll be entertained tomorrow.
Come on out with us and enjoy yourselves as we watch opening day baseball at Rudy's. Speaking of opening day, we got Caps tickets today. We'll give those away at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. We got Nationals tickets today. How about 5 o'clock hour, Nationals, who am I?
Oh, yeah.
Three hints, each one necessary to figure out which National we're talking about. When we give the third hint, it's a race to be the first caller in to tell Ryan, when he answers the phone, which National we are hinting at.
We've had wild success with the last couple of days doing Nats, who am I? People have been on it, by the way. Really impressed. None of those like, is it Ryan Zimmerman? It's like people have figured it out and called promptly.
5 o'clock, 5:25, 5:45. Our hints will be disseminated here on Grant and Danny on the Fan. You know, we didn't talk about this at all yesterday, and this is pretty serious. We'll get back to the calls in a second, but I'd be remiss if we didn't mention this. Man, am I thinking about Baltimore, who, by the way, today in the sports world, Orioles fans, and I grew up a diehard Orioles fan, young boy without the Nationals, just loving Melvin Mora, Miguel Tejada, and the Birds. They got a brand new owner today. It's official, unanimously. Major League Baseball owners voted. So they've got a new owner in Rubenstein who is taking over the Birds moving forward, one of the best teams in the American League. But the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, you and I didn't get to this at all yesterday. That video of the bridge coming down almost simultaneously to the barge going into the stanchion was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't have the right words for it. You just, like, my wife showed it to me, and I go, "Is this a movie?" Because I didn't quite know what the context was. I hadn't seen the story just yet. As she shared the video with me, she's like, turns and look at this. I'm going, "Oh, are they shooting an action flick? Is that like a model?" No. That's that bridge over the Patapsco River, right there in the middle of everything. Just unbelievable, man. Just it sickens you to think about the victims.
Yeah, and thinking about their families and obviously praying for everybody who was involved. But that's just one of those things. I don't know about you. There are people I know that have fears about driving on bridges. My mom, as an example, hates driving on bridges.
I do not love it.
Do you know, you've been to my house, my parents'
house. Harry Nice.
That Harry W. Nice, that long, narrow, one lane each direction, 18-wheelers are hugging the line, coming right at you. I mean, they have now changed that bridge, and it's multiple lanes going either direction. But I grew up a couple miles from that bridge in King George County, and anywhere you were going to the city, you were going over that bridge. That was kind of how I learned to drive, was on, you know, going across that bridge. So I've never had an issue with bridges, but I've never once thought about the possibilities.
I've seen too many movies. The movies love using bridges, like whether it's like that X-Men movie where Magneto moves the Golden Gate Bridge, or, you know, Godzilla goes through a bridge. Like they love using the bridge as like a prop or something that can go bad.
New fear unlocked for me yesterday. I mean, a barge loses power. Barges go under bridges all the time. That's just a thing that happens. Those big, like, look like the crates on the back of an 18-wheeler, basically, the bed of an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, well, before they get to the 18-wheeler, they're on the barge.
Right. They're just stacked up by the hundreds and by the thousands on these big-ass barges. And they're just putting along the water, just going under bridges every day all over the world. The barge can lose power, Danny. The barge can crash into the bridge. How does a bridge come down that easily? I was reading today. I've been too obsessed with this. I was reading today that this bridge engineer was asked about the collapse of that bridge. How terrible it was, how fast it happened. And he basically said, yeah, a barge hit it. And they're like, right, that's what we said. A barge hit it, and then that happened. And he's like, yeah, they're not built to sustain being run into by a giant barge. I should have been thinking about this every day. I mean, how has this never been on my mind? That could just happen. Because if you saw the video like I did, you see the lights on the barge go out. It's lost power.
Mm-hmm.
Gets power back at the last second, but it's like Titanic style. Iceberg right ahead.
You can't change.
It's too late to get away from the iceberg. So now they're just ramming into this thing. I don't know what I expected. I guess I would just assume if you take out one stanchion, the bridge just stays up somehow. But that is not what happened. And it's frightening to think about.
How quick it was. It you know, it's like when my son gets fed up with a Lego and just stomps on it. It was over. It was like a snap of the fingers and it just collapsed straight down.
Is the video that we all saw, we all know the same video that I'm talking about, was that sped up in some way? The falling of the bridge, is that not possible?
I don't think so.
Or did the bridge quite literally fall in a matter of a couple seconds?
There are versions of the video that are out there. There are sped up in, like, you know, I don't know, 0.25 or whatever it is.
No. I'm referencing that the barge hits it, and I would say within 4 or 5 seconds, the bridge is in the water. Is that what happened?
I believe that is what happened in the non-sped up video, yeah.
I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. Is that surprising to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should that not, like... Then we can't do barges anymore. Then we have to find a new way to have, like, someone's going to go, well, this doesn't normally happen. It happened yesterday. That's enough.
Right.
People died that were just driving to work or commuting overnight or whatever it is that they were doing. Loved ones are now suffering. It happened once. Any barge loses power, it could just, and the engineer was like, yeah, man, a barge hit it. And I'm like, you mean the things that constantly go under them? So that's just a possibility at all times? New fear unlocked.
Gosh. I mean, there have been a number of these. I don't know how to say this better, but it would be like finding out, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but finding out that homes along the San Andreas Fault in California weren't built to withstand earthquakes. To me, I would go, well, that's a risk. So let's build it to withstand that. I don't know anything. Engineering is so hard. When they were like, build a bridge in physics class, I went, let's see if I could partner with a smart kid. I had no clue. None of it made sense to me. The suspension, this. I need it to be able to withstand a leering barge bumping into the base of it. I need that to be a love tap and not the whole thing to come collapsing down. Like, that's where I am in terms of the next bridge that goes up, right? Like, I need it to be very different than that.
What year do we think that bridge was built?
I think it's like 60-some years old. Right?
Is that the problem? Like, do we need to start today hiring someone to put together a committee that just goes around and says, let's check on all these bridges that were built in the 60s and 70s? Because if something rams one of these pillars, we need it to not go into the water in 5 seconds. I mean, I go to Cape Charles. That's where my in-laws live all the time. I forget what that bridge is called in Virginia Beach. You're on it for 20 miles. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it weaves around. Does it have the tunnel with it too or no?
Yes, there's of course, mm-hmm. there's tunnels to get to and from it. Mm-hmm. But you're on a bridge for 20 miles.
Mm-hmm. There's not, so many ships around.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
There's another way to get there, probably. I'll be finding it. I mean, really? That quick? Seconds? Everyone just saw the video. They're like, this is what happened. I needed everyone to stop. That's a Michael Bay scene. That was like a fake, done with graphics scene to me. It was nuts what mm-hmm. I saw yesterday.
Insane doesn't mean to cover.
People were affected.
Yeah. Totally.
Today, people are just driving on bridges going like, oh, well, that happened yesterday. That's all I can think about. Seconds, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was parking downstairs, and I was backing into a spot. And I got like a few feet away from one of those like white pillars, you know? And I was like, okay. And then I straightened out and then went into the spot. But in my mind, I'm going, if I bump into that, does the whole building come down?
Do we lose the building?
Because everything I think I know about construction changed yesterday. How can that be? Is it just that pillar, do you think? They got the right one? Or do you think any one of those pillars would have brought?
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, it's something that's, you know, it's physics is weird when it comes to that. Because, like, it doesn't look like the barge is doing that much. Does that make sense? But the weight, there's so much weight behind it that it's not moving that fast, but it's not stopping either. Does that make sense? So you could stop, like, let's say a mosquito, a child, and a linebacker are moving at the same speed, and you reach out your hand. One's going to stop. The mosquito will stop. You could probably stop the child. You're not stopping that linebacker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's because of the weight behind it that caused such a dramatic effect. I don't know how to say this better than that. Again, I don't mean to be flipping about it. It doesn't look like much. It doesn't look like collapse the entire entity type contact. But there's so much weight with that with that barge that's what does it.
I grew up on a boat, okay? Mm-hmm. Like we had a 20-foot Renkin. We've had a 22-foot Hurricane. Just normal, the kind of boats that people go out on normally in the Potomac River, you know, different offshoots, right? Nothing big at all. If you were to just let that boat glide into your, like, dock and hit a pole, I mean, damage is done. It's, mm-hmm. it's very heavy, and there's nothing you can do. The water's just taking it right there. So I get that this thing with 900 different 18-wheeler truck crates on it is heavy as hell. I'm sure that someone will tell me it's a ship, not a barge. It's used as a barge. It's not. This ain't the thing that my brother takes to the Bahamas, okay? It rammed into a bridge, and the entire bridge fell down. That we need to not have that happen again. How do we do that? William said this morning he was on the Bay Bridge, and he said he thought about it a few times.
That's the one that I've never liked. That's even pre-bridge collapsing. I've never felt comfortable up there. I've never liked it.
So has this been a legit fear or just kind of back of your head thought?
No, there's a discomfort. So I've driven on enough bridges where every day to go to school, I drove over Chain Bridge. Never a problem, never occurred to me, never an
Which
issue.
One's that?
That's off of Glebe Road or 123 Meet in Arlington.
Over water?
Yeah, over the Potomac River.
I think I know
it's
where you're
so at. High and the water's like not close to you at all. It just feels like a road with some barriers on the side. Never a problem. Key Bridge, nice views in each direction. I've driven over Key Bridge 6 trillion
That's
times.
That's going into Georgetown?
Yeah, never a problem, never thought about it. But that Bay Bridge, for whatever reason, where you're just out in the open and you can almost see the bridge moving because of the wind, and then you find out from somebody, yeah, it actually does that by design to keep it pliable. And what? It moves? The bridge is moving? I've got a curse word for you, and then you right afterwards. What? No. Like, so that one has always made me uncomfortable. And some of the long, high, you know, kind of arcing ones where the visibility isn't so good. I've white-knuckled it a time or two. Fully admit that.
Our guy Guilo said, how does a bridge come down like that? A barge, 10,000 tons, hits the support of a bridge built in 1977. That's how. Please start rebuilding our bridges built 40 years ago that aren't meant for 2024. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yeah, if they're not, then we got to figure that out.
I'm all in favor of that.
Put money into that. But that video is just so
cannot see it.
Traumatizing.
Yeah, cannot see
terrible.
It.
Terrible. And I do want to reiterate before we move on that it's close enough. I mean, it's Baltimore. This didn't happen in another country. This didn't happen across this country on the West Coast. Like there might be a listener who knows someone who was affected or mm-hmm. Has a buddy who had a family member that was lost and just absolutely tragic. And we're thinking about them, but I know that was the big story in and around the area yesterday, and you and I came on late. We're at the gala, so it didn't come up on the show. Let's get back, though, to our normal scheduled sports talk conversation here on Jaden Daniels and your thoughts on his ceiling and his floor. Kevin's in Arlington. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. This class, if I might say, I'm a 1983 college graduate, so I was watching Elway and Kelly and all those guys in college, and I was so excited about that draft. And little did I know it would turn into be the most famous draft of quarterbacks in NFL history. And I'm not saying this class is that class. That I don't know that we'll ever see a class quite like that, but I truly think there are at least four, and maybe other than four, starter-worthy draft picks that are going to hit. I'm having a hard time seeing the floor with a lot of these kids, and I think that's a good thing, and I think that speaks to the point you were making earlier is, hey, this is a good problem to have. I mean, the talk of four picks at the top of the draft being all quarterbacks reflects, A, how valuable they are, and B, how talented this class is. So having said all that, with Jaden Daniels, I see as the ceiling a healthy Randall Cunningham, both in Philadelphia and Minnesota, a guy that's just transformational, as Quinn himself said, a game changer. Unfortunately, the floor I see is Robert Griffin III, and not in terms of his mentality or his personality, but in terms of his fragility. You know, the two greatest abilities are availability and durability, and I really and truly am very concerned about that with Daniels. He is my second favorite kid. The guy I want is McCarthy. And, Danny, let me just say this. When I hear people talk about McCarthy and his floor, I'm hearing people talk about Mac Jones. This kid's not Mac Jones. This guy was a five-star traumatic high school. He's exceedingly mobile. He's tremendous at throwing on the run.
But he's way more athletic.
Yeah, he's got more in the tank there than Jones does. I think that's safe to say.
I think he's everything he does better than Mac Jones, just from a scouting standpoint. He has better arm strength. He's more athletic. He's quicker. He's faster. Moves in the pocket better, in my opinion. So, you know, Mac Jones was the 15th overall pick in the draft. Doesn't look like he's going to make good on that selection. He actually did have some early success in New England that people forget. They made the playoffs. He played really well when they got blown out by the Buffalo Bills in a playoff game at one point. But if you just go by the standard of Mac Jones was taken in the mid-first round and was linked to the 49ers at number three, then McCarthy going after winning national championships with his arm strength and mobility in the top 5 to 10 shouldn't be that crazy. You know, people are blown away by it, but worse prospects in terms of attributes have been taken in the early part of the first round for a long, long time. Christian Ponder went 12, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think coming out, he was as highly regarded as McCarthy is. But back to Jaden Daniels. Your thoughts on his take there?
Yeah.
Worry about the injury.
That's what it is. That's my biggest concern is the frame, is the hits, whether those are get eliminated and it's schooled out of him.
In the pocket or out of the pocket?
Both. All of the above. He took a lot of shots. He took shots like a frat guy.
Yeah, there is a reel of highlights going around the internet. I'll have to try to find it. Maybe we could tweet it out. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny said Funny Danny. But it's basically like the sizzle reel of the biggest shots that he elected to take last year, where he's just getting blown up by linebackers and safeties, and he's opting out of getting down or getting to the sideline.
It's only interest in making a play, and I'm going, thank you for that. Nope. Let's curb that stuff.
There's probably an argument to be made that you can coach that easier than you can a lot of things. The reason I'm so adamant against this idea that you just forget how to get down, or that you learn how to do that, I should say, you forget how you used to play, is the Griffin experience. When I was there on the beat for him and talking not only to him about how difficult it was to reprogram and rewire his brain, but to Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan. And I still remember where I was sitting at the park talking to Kyle about how he said, you know, most guys learn in high school that you can't take a big shot and they're not fast enough to get away from the big guys. So they get blown up in high school and they learn that lesson. He said that there's a special group of players who wait until college to learn that. And oftentimes those are your highest recruited quarterbacks. Those are your Griffins, Daniels types. And in college, now all of a sudden there are fast enough guys to hit you pretty hard where you learn that lesson in college. He said, but very, very occasionally, rarely but occasionally, there's a guy who can get through college who was so special and unique and such a difference, a different kind of prospect than everybody else, where they didn't learn that lesson in college and they learned it in the NFL, and that was Griffin.
Yeah.
And that's either going to be Daniels or it's not. But I'm with you in that being a concern. It's not my biggest concern. My biggest concern is, I would say, twofold. Turning pressures into sacks at a rate that all the guys like him statistically over the years did not have good NFL careers. He'd be breaking through a major barrier in terms of predictive metrics. The other would be throws to the middle of the field, which was not a strength of his, not something he was asked to do a lot, which is going to have to be something he majors in the National Football League. So two very stylistic and or kind of statistical flaws, if you will, in the prospect algorithm. That's where I focus my attention in terms of concern, more so than the weight. 210 today, but he's probably not playing at 210.
No, he'll get back down. I mean, he's listed on his sports reference page at LSU at 185, which is just so slight.
I don't know how often they update those, but I think that's probably what he was playing at within the last calendar year. At some point, he played in a game around 185. I'm quite sure of it. 800-636-1067. Got a couple of lines open for you on Grant and Danny. Jaden Daniels pro day today. What do you envision for him in the NFL?
What makes you the best quarterback in this draft?
I'll just say my versatility. You know, explosive plays are a name of the game of football. You know, defenses try to limit explosive plays and explosive players. So, you know, just what my resume speaks for itself, what I do in that category. Either that's with my arm or my legs.
That's Jaden Daniels speaking at his pro day with Cameron Wolf of NFL Network. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. In just a moment, want to hear what you guys think about Daniels as a prospect. Commanders watching him throw today and then meeting with him this evening in Baton Rouge. Eric Flack of WSA TV9 just tweeted that the Alexandria mayor, Justin Wilson, has informed Flack that he's going to be releasing a statement soon about the future of Monumental Sports and Entertainment's proposed move to Potomac Yard. Which is very interesting to me for a couple of reasons. But it's, to me, really, really interesting because have you been noticing Ted Leonsis' tweets?
This is my point.
Today.
Something is happening.
Ted Leonsis tweeted, I'm going to read a few of them, but a chain of social media interactions with Caps and Wizards fans and a bunch of posts on X that are basically very much about the health of the teams in D.C. Said incredible info from our MSE team just now. On Monday night, the Zach Bryan concert was the highest attending concert in Capital One Arena history with 20,280 people enjoying the show. It was also the highest single night for merchandise sales in Capital One Arena history. He also said, thrilling Caps victory. This was after last night. At Capital One Arena last night. A huge 2 points. As always, Caps fans showed up for the team. Your support has been fantastic. Last night was one of the most attended Caps games of the season and the largest weekday crowd of the year. So again, it's kind of one of these, people are showing up in D.C. Now, the tenor toward D.C. from Monumental and vice versa, D.C. toward Monumental as they've been trying to move to Virginia, has been rough the last several weeks, but these don't read that way. Leonsis today. Even more amazing data. In March to date, over 325,000 fans have come through the doors to enjoy the Capitals and the Wizards games, concerts, Georgetown basketball, ACC tourney, and other events. We expect to end the month near 400,000 fans through the turnstiles. He went on to say, each of these events brings the community together, supports thousands of jobs, and generates significant tax revenue for the city. Now you've got the mayor of Alexandria today saying he's releasing a statement about Monumental and Virginia. The last thing we heard about Virginia was that the teams were unlikely to be able to go there because Senator Lucas essentially said no, and that was the end of that, unless the governor tried a Hail Mary, which he wasn't planning on trying. But with Leonsis tweeting very positively about D.C. today, and now the mayor of Alexandria coming out saying he's got a statement he's about to put out, my spidey senses are tingling.
There are two possibilities. One, an extraordinarily random coincidence that Ted's Twitter fingers are extremely active today. Just experiencing gratitude. Maybe he's going through his journals, his meditations, his thank yous, right? Just decided, let's pour some data out, tell you how good it's going with us in Washington, D.C. And by the way, look at all the benefits for Washington, D.C., the tax revenue and the jobs and the so forth. Just randomly. Could have done that any day over the last 5, 6, 7 months, years, whatever. Just happens to be today. Alexandria Mayer's got an announcement about the future of the whole stadium deal. Tells me something's happening. Something's coming.
I've hit a lot of people up about this.
Yeah.
None of them have answered.
Okay.
Now, me telling you that doesn't mean a whole lot other than to say, sometimes when nobody's answering anything, things are happening. It could also be that they don't like me very much. Choose your path, fighter. But we heard and we knew that Virginia was unlikely as of a couple weeks ago, or that they were going to have to regroup at the least. We already know that D.C. has said that the $500 million offer is still on the table. We had Flack on weeks ago, and he said that the mayor told him they were not taking that money off the table. They want the Wizards and the Capitals. They've been trying to get them to stay in D.C. They're willing to fork over $500 million if that's what it takes, so that they can renovate Capital One Arena, turn it into the best version of the building that Ted Leonsis can have downtown. And now there's been a little bit of a renewed positivity, I will say, in social media from the owner toward not just the city, which he's always been very positive about, yep, D.C., but the teams in the arena and kind of what's going on at Capital One Arena. There's just a lot of movement right now that would make me think maybe Virginia is dwindling, that the chances of anything happening outside of D.C. are dwindling to the point where D.C. could be very much back in play. And if you're Leonsis, we heard he went and talked to Wes Moore, that nothing was imminent there. Maybe you tried Virginia. Lucas, I think incorrectly, shut that down before it ever got off the ground. But here we are. You went to Maryland and had your quick conversation. You took the temperature there. Maybe we find out sometime in the future that D.C. is going to be the home of the Wizards and the Capitals for the foreseeable future.
That's what this feels like to me, honestly. Right?
Would he have tweeted those things he's tweeting if something wasn't brewing? I mean, I guess it's possible. He's just the owner of the team. He was on cloud nine last night. His Capitals just got a big win.
And then he just happened to have a meeting where they gave him all this data? That's possible, I suppose.
The dopamine hits, right? He gets all the numbers. Somebody told me, by the way, this is not related to anything that Ted's tweeted, but a buddy of mine mentioned to me that the gate for just refreshments and concession stands on the day of the ACC tournament at Capital One Arena was the highest grossing day in the history of the arena for money that they got on food. And they've, you know, teams, these arenas want these tournaments because it's all day long.
Right.
So like the NC State fans are there, and then the Duke fans are there, and there's three, four, whatever it is, games all day. So people are in there, leaving, coming back, but someone might be sitting there from noon to 11 p.m., and they're having two or three meals and eight beers. And so, but just from revenue generated at Capital One Arena on food and beverage, basically, from what I was told, the day of the ACC tournament, whatever day that was, or one, the first day maybe, the most money they've made at any point in that building. The Capitals' Stanley Cup home date, one of them, was the closest otherwise, and it was a couple hundred thousand off or something like that, from what I'd heard. But, I mean, business has been booming there. There's no doubt about that. He's got all these numbers on the concerts, and you know, 90% of Caps fans are keeping their season tickets. He expects 80 to 90% of Wizards fans. Are you saying all that stuff if you're not getting ready to tell us that you're staying in D.C.?
So if you're just doing a, hey, man, I'm going to pat myself on the back real quick and the organization, and here's what's going on. It's fun, right? The fun things are happening right now. I would buy that if it weren't for this little two-sentence sandwich tweet. Really, one sentence. It's two lines. Each of these events brings the community together, supports thousands of jobs, and generates significant tax revenue for the city. That, I noticed that. That's the one I noticed the most. I underlined it. I circled it. I did a little pin. I said, let me come back to that one. Because that tells me, if you didn't care about the city, I'm not trying to be, you know, rude about it. I'm saying, but if you weren't interested in the city, you're moving from the city, you wouldn't mention that as a partnership. You would just say it could do that for you, or you'd find a different construction. When you're specifically talking about the city that you're in, and look at all the benefits. What a great partnership. This is so great. You're talking about continuing the partnership.
If and when, let's say hypothetically, they come out and they announce that they're staying in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
that their flirtation in Virginia is over, that they're not going to Maryland, that they've taken the deal from the city and the mayor, $500+ million, they sweeten the pot, whatever it is, right? Let's just say they take a deal from Washington, D.C. Could be today, tomorrow, 6 weeks from now. I don't care. My question to Danny Ruye is, do the people who got really angry at Ted that he tried to move stay angry at him? Or because you got what you wanted, do you just kind of take your ball and go home? I think most of the people that were screaming and hated him for trying to move to Virginia were already mad because that, you know, they don't like how he's owned the Wizards, or they think that he should have signed that player in the NHL that one time. I think if you like Ted, if you think he's done a pretty good job as an owner, you might have not been nearly as bothered by some of the plans to leave D.C. I don't know. But my question to you is, does that linger for a little while still? Does he have to win another cup or a world championship with the Wiz, and then people will hop back in?
I think it's going to linger a little bit. I do. I think it'll be a little bit lingering, but I don't think it's the gavel slamming like it was for a lot of folks, right? I mean, think of the vitriol that we got that neither you and I really anticipated the level of. Right? I expected people that are specifically inconvenienced, where they go, it used to take me 30, now it's going to take me an hour 20. I'm not doing that. I get that totally 100%. It's the principle. The idea that they would dare go to this place that they've never been, that's 4.5 miles away, it's closer than their practice facility is to their home court. How could they do that? How could he do that? The betrayal. This, I think those folks that we were surprised at that vitriol will still be bothered for a little while. And they won't treat this as, I got what I want. Yeah, we only got what we want because you couldn't get what you want. Right? They'll still be bothered, but they'll get over it.
Nobody thinks about Jack Kent Cook from a legacy standpoint, that he moved the team out of D.C. to Landover, Maryland. Which, by the way, come on,
pretty
man.
Pretty terrible move, Jack.
You did that? Really? Why? Mm. Why'd you do that to us? No one ever brings that up as part of his legacy, ever. If you win, your legacy is that. And he has already won a championship in hockey. Caps fighting for a playoff spot. Maybe he can rip off another one in the next several years. Maybe the Wizards can actually get good at some point. They start winning some games, making some postseasons, going on runs, and that helps them. But just scrolling his timeline on social media on X, it's a lot of, you know, just, you know, retweets of different pictures and graphics and stats and, you know, stories on his teams. And then a thread today where it's very pro the arena, pro DC, and now we got the mayor of Alexandria saying, I'll be releasing a statement very soon.
Something is afoot, man.
Antenna's going up here. We will continue to try to track down more information on this at 106.7 The Fan. Next, our double play, 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on our continuing discussion on Jaden Daniels, who's having a pro day today. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Kick off your future with the law firm of Kanduri and Murad. They are the official show sponsors here at G&D. They will help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. We've got breaking news into 106.7 The Fan. Breaking news on the Fan, brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Justin Wilson, the mayor of Alexandria, has just provided an update on the Potomac Yard proposal. He used the past tense in saying they worked tirelessly to give Alexandria a more stable and prosperous future. He's grateful to Stephanie Landrum and city manager, as well as entire Alexandria council. But it sounds like they, Danny, are ending their quest to try to bring the Wizards and the Capitals to Virginia. Said they engaged in substantial community engagement over the past months that informed our negotiations and would have made the proposal even better for our community. But they are ending their effort to land the Wizards in the Capitol.
The first sentence of the City of Alexandria statement on the Potomac Yard Entertainment District proposal: the City of Alexandria has ended negotiations related to the Potomac Yard Entertainment District opportunity, and the proposal will not move forward. End. There it is. Slam the gavel. Done.
So we were literally last segment just speculating about everything swirling, where you've got Leonsis tweeting very positively about D.C., and about the arena, and us hearing some rumblings that maybe there was some type of repair to their relationship very recently. Then the mayor came out and said he was releasing a statement, and now he says that they are ending their bid, so to speak. Negotiations over with Monumental. So this leads me to believe then that we will absolutely imminently, and if Alexandria comes out trying to get ahead of this thing with the mayor to say that they're no longer involved, tells me that Monumental in D.C. could have something coming very, very soon.
You would think so. I would say that is imminent, right? I mean, Alexandria clearly didn't want to wait to get this out so that they reacted second. Knowing that this is coming, they basically said, hey, you can't fire us, we quit. Right? It's not happening anymore. We've ended our pursuit of it. Therefore, we're not the ones that are walking away or whatever. You know what I mean? So they wanted to get there first.
Yeah,
I would expect a statement
this
in moments.
Because as I read the statement more, he talks about how they did a lot of work even since the press conference to continue to improve the plans. I just kind of view this as it didn't happen. We tried. Not a, we don't want the teams. I get the sense he's saying essentially, we swung for the fences and it didn't work out. And we're sorry about that, but we're moving on. Is that how you're reading this?
To a degree, I would say that this is a, before somebody comes out, thinking of Leonsis and company, before they come out and talk about how wonderful DC is and how we're so glad to be here, we, Alexandria, wanted you to know that we tried real hard and we wanted to do this and, you know, it just, we worked very hard and it wasn't necessarily possible.
My guess is Ted's not going to stand there and say, we always wanted to be in DC. DC's the best option. Everybody knows what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to go to Virginia. Senator Lucas didn't allow it to happen, fairly inexplicably in my opinion, but I won't editorialize anymore. She said no, and that ended that. It was kind of over. So if I'm right, Ted's essentially going to acknowledge, hey, you guys saw, we want more space. We want a state of the goal all along has been this state-of-the-art amazing facility where we have the best first class in everything that we do. And we knew that we could do that in Virginia. It's easy to do that when we have a lot more space and we're starting from scratch. But this $550 million DC's given us will allow it to do us here too. And we're really, really happy. Like, I don't think that it's going to be acrimonious between Virginia and the teams.
No.
I think Justin Wilson, Alexandria, Monumental, they probably will high five and say, good effort. You know, we tried. And there'll be a meme of Lucas watching the high five and her staring from behind because she didn't let it happen or whatever. But now they go back to D.C.
There's a reason that they wanted to rush and get this out first.
Yeah, because they look like losers.
Right.
They look like they lost out on the Wizards.
And that's kind of my point. So if there was, hey, we can push this next year, or we can maybe get it on the ballot in a different way, or it's tied to a casino or whatever the hell that was proposed for a second. If it was still alive, this wouldn't be happening. But Leonsis is walking away, going back to D.C., and I think he actually is going to be a little bit tone deaf and pretend that everything, this is where I always wanted to be, we're so happy for the partnership, and pretend like nothing happened. Like there's no egg on anyone's face, and they didn't have that press conference on that site, which is not really a press conference. They just made an announcement, didn't take any questions. But I do think he's going to try to pretend like it didn't happen. But for the mayor of Alexandria, they got to rush to get this out first so that nobody's like coming at you later for comment. right? So what's a triumphant announcement for DC and Leontis, then by extension makes it look like this wasn't worth fighting for it or something. And you got to get your nice words out now.
Oh, good. Louise Lucas just posted a new meme. As Monumental announces today that they are staying in Washington, D.C., we are celebrating in Virginia that we avoided the Monumental disaster. Thank you to everyone who stood with us in this fight. Cool. Prepare more memes. Wizards Cap's going to be staying in D.C. I wonder what the tone's going to be at the presser. Because, man, was it acrimonious between. And this is politics, right?
Yeah. It's all dirty. That's how it always goes, yeah.
It's ugly. But the mayor hated Ted, and Ted probably hated the mayor for the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to stand there and.
They're going to pretend everything's great.
Give a big smile. I don't think. I think you're shortchanging Ted a little bit. It would be ridiculous for him to pretend like nothing happened. And there's no harm, no foul for him here. You know, there are people that were upset. There were also a lot of people that were excited. He can come out and say, all I've been trying to do the whole time is to get us. This is my job. I'm an owner. I'm a businessman. I'm trying to get my basketball team and my hockey team and my fans the best facilities and the best way to view games. That's what he should be saying. We had a great plan to do that in Virginia. We weren't allowed to execute it. Our next best option is right here at Capital One Arena, where we'll dump $500 million into an arena that's still fine. And it's going to be a lot better than fine because here's our new plans, and hopefully they've got some boards with some pictures. I'll bet you they have a few boards with pictures.
They got some pictures with boards on them. Or the other way around. Boards
that's what
pictures.
They had
boards
the,
with pictures. Yeah.
At the big press conference.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. I mean, those ads can't un-ad, you know, during every Wizards game. And I don't know. I'd like to think there'd be some humility there, but, you know, I mean, watch a telecast when they're getting beat by 30 and we're telling you that this guy had 4 and 4 off the bench and it's outstanding and it's a great effort and, you know, everything's roses, you know? I mean, it's hard to say that they'll treat this the way that it should be treated.
I think that depends, though, on the crew. I've never had an issue with Joe being locker.
That's true.
Not calling out the Capitals. I think Alan May lights fire under the team.
No, they're great.
The Wizards do that less. It's probably hard to just constantly beat up on a team over and over again when they lose every single game. But I hear people bashing the coverage for Monumental a lot. The Caps, to me, I don't know that anybody's gotten in trouble. And when the team plays really badly, they acknowledge it. But I'm curious what the timing of this is now. I was thinking, like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Ted's tweeting this. The mayor says he's got a statement coming. This feels like it's now.
Well, as soon as Alexandria, like, won the race to get their statement out first, any minute, honestly.
Yeah, it feels like
somebody's
going to
say something soon, yeah.
The mayor and Ted are going to be doing a press conference or something's going to be coming down the pike. So keep it glued right here to 106.7 The Fan. But in the meantime, it looks like if you're about my age, the only arena you really ever remember going to, I've got very faint memories. My dad used to take me to USA Arena a few times a year for Wizards and Caps. I don't remember, like, parking there, walking in, what it really felt or looked like. I remember a couple games I was at, though. I remember a Bullets game seeing George Mirison or a Caps game, my first Caps game ever. For the most part, my entire life, since I've been 9 years old, it's been going to 7th and F Streets. And we'll keep doing that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that arena. It's nothing great about it either. But if you dump $500 million in, the problem is it's hard to really renovate.
You can't expand the footprint only so much, right?
But it's hard to also do anything quickly that makes a major change that's all that noticeable,
because
there's always games. There's always concerts. You can't stop using it for 7 months and send the Caps or the Wizards to Fairfax to play. I mean, God forbid Fairfax. I'm sure Senator Lucas.
Whoa, whoa!
Senator Lucas will be standing there outside Eagle Bank Arena. Memeing.
She's got memes right now.
You can't play here. Meme. Give me money for tolls. Oh, wait, you gave me 3 times as much as I wanted, but that's not enough. Meme. Anyway, forget that I said Fairfax. I should have never done that.
How dare you? No one wants the Grant Dome in Fairfax.
I also know that Virginia is just this evil, terrible place across the river that no one should ever go to. So my sincerest apologies.
Thank you.
Don't meme me, Senator Lucas.
Meme.
But let's say they had to play. You're allowed to go to Maryland. That's considered the DMV. So let me think of a place. Maybe they could play where the Terps play. Everyone's okay with that, right? No one's offended or angry. It's not called the Grant Dome.
Let me look around. Cool. I think that's fine.
So go to Maryland, because that's part of the DMV. Virginia's not.
That counts.
And maybe they could play there while they fixed up Capital One Arena with the 500 mil. But instead, it's like you're living in the house and you're working
in one room.
You're
renovating one room, yeah.
You're going room to room a little bit.
Don't say that in one section. We're working on the AC.
I don't care, man. Make the playoffs, Caps. Maybe the Wizards could win a game every now and then.
Three in a row? You
and
sleep?
Hopefully everything, hopefully everything in Virginia is going great. Hopefully we got our memes ready to go.
One day.
We'll get one.
One day.
Before I die, there will be a stadium or an arena in the state that I call home, possibly, one day. And if not, we'll just send a bunch of memes. That's the best way to do it. Beltway Blitz is next. We'll play a little Nats Who Am I on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.